This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3987 for Tuesday, the 14th of November 2023. Today's show is entitled The Grim Dawn. It is the 50th show of some guy on the internet and is about 40 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Scotty rambles about a video game called Grim Dawn. You are listening to a show from the Reserve Queue. We are airing it now because we had free slots that were not filled. This is a community project that needs listeners to contribute shows in order to survive. Please consider recording a show for Hacker Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet. Today let's talk about gaming. I love to play some video games. I play on Windows. That's my gaming operating system. And it's convenient that I'm able to, you know, use Firefox and LibreOffice on Windows. Outside of that, it's strictly just gaming. I also don't use some of the same restraints that I would use for my Firefox browser on Windows that I normally use on Linux. You know, I'm a little bit more lenient there just because I'm not opening up anything that's super secure. So I don't mind leaving my YouTube logged in. I like having some music or something from YouTube, or if I'm streaming or whatever the case is, you know, I don't mind it just being saved there on Windows. I play a wide variety of games. Lately here, I've been playing a lot of Grim Dawn, and I've been watching coverage of another game called Diablo 4. It recently came out, and people have been covering it. These two games, Grim Dawn and Diablo 4, they're both what's known as action RPGs. RPG stands for role-playing game. Some people also refer to them as hack and slash RPGs or whatever. But they're usually fast-paced, lots of, you know, big weapon swinging, or, you know, a nuclear mage that runs around just blasting enemies to pieces with bright magical powers and all sorts of things like that. When I'm picking a game, an ARPG, you know, action RPG, well, any game really, I like to have a single player. I can't always play online. And by single player, I mean in the traditional sense, where I can just play the game with no internet connection, just on my system, no network required. Diablo 4 claims it has a single player where players can play by themselves, but the game is mandatory online. You cannot play it offline at all. So to me, that is not single player. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's not single player in my opinion. If I have to be on the internet to play it, then that's multiplayer. It's broken multiplayer. So I'm watching the coverage of it, and I'm seeing a lot of people who play the game professionally, meaning streamers. They stream on Twitch and other platforms like that. And I'm listening to their coverage, how they feel about the game, the different game mechanics, the story, things of that nature. And these type of games, I don't want to knock it for what it is, but I have a consideration list. Games I would even consider purchasing. Diablo 4 is not a game I would consider purchasing. Mainly because, one, that whole always online thing. Two, the aggressive payment model in the game. I'm old school. I buy a game, I play it, I like it. If it's good and the developer, you know, releases additional content for the game, I will purchase that as well. Even if it's just like loyalist packs. For instance, in Grim Dawn, they release loyalist packs. If you want to support the developer so that they can continue doing, like, you know, additional content in the future, sometimes little balances and improvements over time, that kind of thing. Because I get it. You need money to do this kind of thing, right? You release a game maybe 10 years ago and people are still playing it today, there's going to be some small things that they wish were done better over that course of time. And if, excuse me, let me clear my throat. Sorry about that. I'm actually holding my YubiKeys down right now. My YubiKeys keep jingling as I'm moving around doing the shows. Where was I? Oh yeah, there we are. So the developers will come back and, you know, begin tweaking things, right? So say if a class was what we refer to as broken. We mean broken not that it doesn't work always. That's not what it means. What they mean sometimes when broken, meaning it is the most powerful class out there. Like, everybody chooses it just because it's so easy. It can just cleave through tons of enemies with ease. And an example of this in Grim Dawn, I'm about to switch the focus of the conversation exclusively to Grim Dawn now. We may revisit Diablo 4 later on in the conversation, but right now let's just focus on Grim Dawn. There used to be a class, well, the class is still there. It's called a cultist. That's one of the classes you can pick. And it has an ability or skill in the class called Bloody Pox. It used to be so broken. You would hit enemies with Bloody Pox. And what it does is it does a ton of vitality damage to your enemies. Eventually, the enemies will die from it, but the enemies' bodies will remain infected. So as new enemies come rushing in to fight you, they will become contaminated by the already dead enemies with the Bloody Pox, and it just spread over and over, just wiping the screen of enemies. Just, it was so overpowered. That's what we refer to as OP, and then also in this case, when I said it was broken, yeah, like seriously, you just cast that ability once and walk around. Enemies would just come rushing in to fight you, get infected and die. So obviously they had to balance that, right? You know, over time they made subtle adjustments, not to nerf it down to where it would not be effective anymore, but it just wasn't fun. I mean, seriously, you just tap one key and you killed everything on the screen. That's not fun. So Grim Dawn, I think it has like, let me just pull up the website right here so I can have a little bit more information to go off of. Let's talk about Grim Dawn a little closer, shall we? All right, so Grim Dawn is made by Crate Entertainment. In my opinion, they've done a fantastic job. If they release a version 2, normally I would never pre-order a game just because companies have just been abusing that system. And I do not want to reward someone who's doing bad, so I would not pre-order. But for this company who has proven themselves over and over and over again, they released a full product. Then, upon receiving the overwhelming praise from the community, continued to release free patches and updates. Then eventually, you know, they created like the DLC and loyalist packs and things of that nature for those of us who wish to pay more for additional development, that kind of thing. Yeah, these guys are great. I would pre-order a Grim Dawn 2 from them. But enough about that. Let's talk about the classes. Or they also refer to the classes as masteries. So I'll just call them classes from here out. So you got the Arcanist. The Arcanist is a class that's the nuclear mage. You're going to get a lot of aether damage, a lot of elemental damage, that kind of stuff. And I'll go over damage types in a minute. Or actually, I might as well now. And I might as well talk about them now since we're talking about it. Most of the damage types have two versions. There's what we call the flat damage. So I'm going to use fire for this example. Fire will say an example number will be 100 points of damage. So you will take a flat 100, say a fireball hits you. You will take a flat 100 damage from the fireball. Now, it could also have the other type of damage, which is the tick-based damage or damage over time. They sometimes call it dot for damage over time. But, you know, if you played other games, they sometimes refer to it as tick as well. So fire damage is the flat, and the tick version or the dot version of fire is called burn. So you may receive 100 points of damage of 100 points of fire damage plus 300 points of burn damage. But that burn damage happens over the course of 3 seconds. So every second you get another tick of burn. So that's how the damage types work. So you got your fire, which is accompanied by burn. You have your ice, or actually it's not called ice, it's called cold. You have cold damage, which is accompanied by frost burn. That's the tick version of cold. You have lightning damage, which is accompanied by electrocution. That's the tick version. There's vitality damage, accompanied by vitality decay. There's acid damage, accompanied by poison. And last but not least, there's physical damage, accompanied by internal trauma. Those are the damage types that have an accompanied form, you know, a tick-based form that is associated with that damage. Hopefully I didn't miss any. Now, there's other types of damage as well. Me personally, I love physical damage. I'll go into that later, but right now, let me just try to cover them all real quick. I'm just going off the head. I should have just pulled up a screen that labeled the damages, but you know how we do here. It don't have to be perfect. It just has to be entertaining for hackers. So the other forms of damage, bleed. Bleed is considered to be a physical type of damage. However, bleed does not have a flat form. Bleed is exclusively a damage over time type of damage, and it is usually associated with physical as well. So you'll have skills that'll deal a flat physical number, and then sometimes it'll be accompanied by either internal trauma and or bleed. Same thing with vitality. Sometimes you'll do vitality damage and it'll be accompanied by vitality decay and or bleed. There's also pierce damage. Now, pierce damage is unique. Most damage types in a game are considered magical types of damage, except for physical and internal trauma and bleed. Those are like true physical damages. Piercing damage is different. It is a type of physical damage that is governed by magical properties, because piercing damage is physical that ignores armor. So when you hit an enemy with, say, fire damage, their armor will not protect them against the fire damage. They need fire resistance to protect them against fire damage. You understand? Their armor will only protect them against physical damage and internal trauma damage. However, if you want to go past their armor and infect them anyway with damage, like just completely ignore their armor, that's when you use piercing damage. So it works. Anything that works against armor is technically a type of physical, but piercing is governed by magical properties. So in order to combat piercing damage, you need to have piercing resistance. Now, there's also a physical resistance in the game as well. It's normally overlooked because, I mean, you just get better armor and you can resist physical damage, right? Physical damage is the most common type of damage in the game. But like I mentioned, you just get better armor and you can negate a lot of it. Now, there's other flat type damages that do not have the associated tick forms, like aether damage. Aether is very powerful. It does not have a tick variant, but sometimes aether is associated with fire. So you'll have abilities that cast what's known as aether fire. There's also chaos damage. Chaos damage does not have a tick form, but in order to make it viable, chaos normally just hits really hard. So when you get hit by chaos damage, it is going to hurt a lot. Lightning damage is a unique one in that it normally hits very hard, but it has a very, very wide scope. So you'll have lightning damage comes in ranges. Say, for instance, it'll range from taking 1 point of lightning damage all the way up to like 1,000 points of lightning damage. So you see, that's like an extremely wide range. Most other damages will do something like between, 100 and 150. So it's a very short range. You know that the least amount of damage they're going to take is 100. The maximum is 150, that kind of thing. A shorter range. Lightning gives you that opportunity to give them a big hit, but it's such a wide range. That's the one thing I don't like about it. I think the range is too wide on it, but when you do hit them with the big one, oh, they feel it. So the key with lightning is just hit them a lot. You know what I mean? One of them's going to be the big one. All right. So now that I've went over all the damage types, you need armor to protect you against that physical and the physical type damages, and you need resistances to protect you against all the other types of damage, which are classified as magical types of damage. Physical damage is going to be governed by physique and cunning. Physique is going to be more direct physical and internal trauma, where cunning is going to cover bleed. There's one last attribute. So physical, cunning, and spirit are the three attributes. Spirit will cover your magical types of damage. So the fire, the cold, the lightning, chaos, aether, all of those other types. Now, they don't only cover the damage, you know, to magnify your damages. They also do other things. So your physique, I don't know if I was saying physical or physique earlier, but your physique, one of your attributes, it not only covers your physical damage, but it also covers what's known as a DA, Delta Alpha. That stands for defensive ability. Your defensive ability reduces critical hit chances on your character. So the higher your physique, the higher your DA, your defensive ability, the less likely you are to receive a critical hit. It also means, you know, more physique means you can wear heavier armor and use bigger weapons. So like if you're going to be using a lot of two-handed weapons, you're going to need a lot of physique. Cunning covers certain weapons that deal a lot of bleed and piercing type damage. So swords normally have piercing conversions on the weapons. So when you have cunning, you'll be able to use more swords and pistols and rifles as well. There's rifles in the game, pistols, rifles, swords, axes, maces, you know, lots of weapons. So cunning will also increase your OA, Oscar Alpha. That stands for offensive ability. Recap, physique covers the defensive ability. Cunning covers the offensive ability. So with more cunning, the attribute cunning, if you have a lot of that, you'll have lots of offensive ability, which means you have a higher chance of striking a critical hit against your opponent. And if you have abilities that do bleed damage, obviously it's gonna magnify your bleed damage as well. Spirit covers how much mana, in this game it's called energy, but it's the same thing as mana. Spirit will cover how fast your energy regenerates, how much energy you have as a reserve, and the amount of damage your abilities that do magical damage like fire, ice, and all that kind of stuff. It magnifies the amount of damage those things do as well. Spirit is also important for resistances. The way you get resistances is you find items like gear. So it'll be helmets, breastplates, pants, shields, gloves, all of that kind of stuff, including rings and amulets and medals. All of these, they get randomly generated from, you know, loot that you kill. When you kill monsters and stuff, they'll drop loot. You pick up the loot. The loot will have different attributes on them. So, you know, sometimes it'll be pure damage type things like, magnify your fire damage. Other times it'll have resistances, so it'll magnify, increase your, say, fire resistance. And then sometimes it'll have both, you know, it'll have a little bit of fire damage and some fire resistance on it, you know, as an example. So it's not, the game covers more than just getting skills, running around doing a ton of damage. You also have to resist a lot of the damage coming your way. And the game has these areas. Most of the time you're going to be running around having fun, blasting enemies to pieces, exploring dungeons, getting lots of loot. It's such an enjoyable experience. And then you'll run across that one monster. You know, you're going to be super cocky because most of the time you're just nuking everything on the screen, right? Like, it's going to be so fun. Sure, you got to kind of kite around a little bit. Kiting means to just kind of, you know how with a kite, you pull the string, you hold on to the string, and then the kite flies behind you. Well, you're doing the same thing to a powerful monster. When the monster is trying to attack you, but say, for instance, your ability is on cooldown, you already used it before, so you have to wait like a second or two before it comes back. You sort of walk around and lure the monster around in like this little circle where you don't want to just stand there and let him beat on you. So you just kind of walk around and let him chase you around until your ability comes off a cooldown, and then you nuke him too. So it's really enjoyable. And then, you know, I know some of you might be thinking, well, that's too easy. Well, trust me, there's going to be these moments where you run up against like a hero that, you know, the enemies come in different levels. There'll be the trash mobs, the easy ones that you blow to pieces real easily. Then every now and again, you'll get a hero, and then there'll be a champion, and then there'll be a boss, right? Don't let it fool you. Sometimes it's not always the boss you'll have to worry about. Sometimes the champions will show up, and because of the different damage types that are in the game, you may have most of your, let's say, fire, cold, and lightning damage covered just fine, no problem. Any of the enemies that use that type of damage, because you have high resistance to it, they're not really affecting you, so you're just nuking them and moving along. Next thing you know, a champion shows up, and he's not doing fire, cold, or lightning. This guy shows up, and he's hitting you with vitality, and you don't have much vitality resistance. So all of a sudden, he knocks the wind out of you. You know, it's like that very, that surprise moment, like, oh my God, I'm about to die, you know? So I love those moments in the game where you just sort of hit that wall real quick and it's like, whoa, let me fall back real quick because this is getting rough. There's also potions in the game, so you can take potions. Say if you haven't found any decent gear that can cover those resistances, so you can take potions to kind of boost them up real quick. You know, they'll give you like 300 seconds worth of 25% more chaos resistance or whatever resistance you need at the time. There's potions of mending. They're basically health potions. The spirit potions. So if your spirit runs down, you're just dumping your abilities all over the place and you run out of energy, well, you take a spirit potion and then, you know, now you got some more energy. Keep going. And because it is not that Diablo 4 model where they build the game to constantly milk you, this is a game built on player fun and excitement. It will challenge you and give you every opportunity to either make the mistake and get yourself killed or improve continuously. And it is wonderful. You can min-max. You can come in as just a noob and just play for, like I do, I play for fun. You know, I'm not trying to build this awesome, extreme one-shot build, anything like that. I have done it. And it is kind of fun late game. Like when you want to go to the late game and fight like the celestial bosses. Yeah, that you're going to want to min max on, because otherwise they will straight up wipe the floor with you. A lot of the bosses have the ability to heal over anything, especially in the late game. The game offers health regeneration. So there's certain skills that increase your health regeneration. Obviously, there's loot. Different items come with the ability to do health regeneration. And then there's what we call the devotions. Your devotions is just extra skills, extra abilities, extra, you know, health, physique, cunning, spirit, all of that kind of stuff. So just more power, more resistances, all of that. And it's fun. It sounds complex, though. I'll admit, when I first got into it, I was a little worried that I wasn't going to be able to keep up. It took just a little while to kind of familiarize myself with the type of damages, because some of them look very similar. Like every damage is going to have a different color associated with it. So cold damage is going to be blue. It's going to look like ice. You know, fire damage is going to be orange. It's going to look like fire. But then you'll have damage like vitality, which is red, and chaos damage is also red. But there are subtle differences between them. Like I think vitality will show like a skull over the person that gets hit with it, and chaos will not, that kind of thing. But they look very similar, like they're almost the same type of red. So when you get hit with one and you're not sure what's killing you, that kind of thing, you know. So sometimes it gets a little tricky, but you know, for the most part, you'll be able to see it and know that, oh, okay. So another one is acid damage is green, but it's more of a darker green, where aether damage is green, but it's a lighter, like a neon kind of green. All right, so I went through all the damages and devotions and stuff. Let me go back to the classes, because I know I skipped over the classes. So I talked about the Arcanist. That's your nuclear mage that's going to be doing stuff. Like one of the abilities is called Alexara's Flash Freeze, where basically you just generate this massive blast of cold energy that generates from your person and goes out in a diameter around you. And it can go pretty wide. Like you can freeze a lot of things on screen with that. Now bosses are resistant to certain stun effects like CC, freezes, petrifies, stuns, roots, things of that nature. So yeah, you'll have a lot of fun with the trash mobs, but don't think you're going to be flash freezing a boss with it. Then you've got another class called Demolitionist. Demolition specializes in a lot of fire type damages with a, that's its primary type of damage, fire. Now, it can also secondary in lightning or chaos. Another class is called Nightblade. Nightblade is very good. It does a lot of piercing and cold damage. Now, it can also secondary into poison damage and I think a little bit of vitality. I can't remember. I don't play a lot of Nightblade. Nightblades, think of them like assassins. They normally run around with dual weapons. There's a skill that allows you to dual wield melee weapons with the Nightblade. Oh, I forgot to mention Demolitionist. You can play it in one of two ways. One, with guns. Like, Demo's very good with guns, because that class gives you a lot of cunning. Or you can play it almost like a mage, where what we call them is casters. So Demo has a skill called Granado. It's basically a grenade, and you run around, you throwing that. There's also Blackwater Cocktail, and Blackwater Cocktail is super fun. It's a Molotov cocktail, basically, right? So when you throw this thing down with the different modifiers and stuff on it, you basically cover over a third of the screen in fire. Like, it, you have to put a bunch of points into it. Like, not the, you know, the first point you put into it is going to be so amazing. You got to build it up. But once you start putting a bunch of points in a Blackwater Cocktail, man, you are burning things down. It is fun. There's also a relic that you can get. Relics are not bound to classes, but I normally use, like, there's one called, I think it's called Conflagration. The relic itself is called Conflagration, but it gives you the ability, like the skill of Conflagration. And basically you fire a jet of flames from the palm of your hand, and anything that gets hit by that is going to have a bad time. It does a ton of fire and burn damage. Now, you can use that relic on other classes. So, like, I can use Conflagration on Soldier if I wanted to, which is a different class. I'll get to it in a minute. But primarily, you want to use a fire type relic with a fire type class. All right, now I already talked about the Occultist. Occultist normally specializes in Vitality or Acid, but it also has the ability to use Chaos as like a secondary damage type. It does this Chaos. It looks like lightning, but it's called Chaos Bolt. Basically, a massive, thick bolt of, it looks like red lightning, strikes your enemy, and when it hits them directly, it does double the damage. So you just wreck people with that. There's Shaman. Shaman does a lot of lightning with a secondary of, I think, bleed. Shaman also has the ability to command pets as well. Oh, I forgot to mention, Occultist is great in pet builds as well. The Occultist also can summon pets. Shaman is mostly good for like two-handed physical builds, like, I mean, not physical, two-handed weapon builds. So you're running around with like a great sword or a great axe, just smacking people, you know, bashing them to pieces. And Shaman also has this ability called Primal Strike. So when you're hitting people with your great sword and you're using Primal Strike as your attack ability, that's my chair squeaking in the background. I'm trying not to move. This is an old PC chair, so I don't want it to squeak too much, but when you're striking them with Primal Strike, huge bolts of lightning just rain down, just tear. It is so fun, but it burns a ton of energy. And then there's devotions you can get, which do chain lightning on top of all that lightning. So basically everywhere you go, there's just lightning just destroying everything around you. It's so fun. Then there's Soldier, my absolute favorite class. Soldier's meant for tankiness, right? Like, if you don't want to run around and kite too much, if you want to stand toe-to-toe with the strongest enemies and just get punched in the face and not flinch, I recommend Soldier. I run Sword and Board. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means you're carrying like a melee weapon, usually a sword, but it can be an axe or a mace or something, or a bludgeon, whatever you want to call it. You carry a melee weapon, a one-handed melee weapon, and a shield. So we refer to that as Sword and Board. Or you can go two-hander and you just run amok. Now, you don't do a ton of damage like you would with some of the other classes, but some of the other classes are pretty squishy. Now, what we mean by squishy, we mean like low health. Like, you can, if you get hit by like a really big attack, it'll probably kill you. So like the Arcanist, that's a glass cannon type of class. It is a nuclear mage to the fullest extent. You will blow up a lot of stuff and kill a lot of things fast. But when you run up against a boss, especially those boss that have like really high movement abilities, so they can like dash or something like that, or rush you. Yeah, it's gonna get rough. But with Soldier, Oh man, I charge into battle all the time. A soldier, I take the hit. Soldier's great for retaliation builds. In this game, we have retaliation damage. I forgot to mention that earlier. But basically all that is anytime an enemy hits you with a melee attack, they take damage for damaging you. But it has to be a melee attack. So if they're sitting back shooting you with a gun, they will not receive retaliation. But if they strike you with a sword or an axe or something like that, then they will receive retaliation. There's entire builds. I'm talking about very effective builds surrounding retaliation damage. And retaliation damage comes in all forms as well. So you can have fire retaliation, acid retaliation, etc., etc. Then there's the Inquisitor. Sorry, my chair is still moving. Sitting down for so long, my backside's starting to get a little stiff here, just sitting like this. But there's Inquisitor. The Inquisitor normally does like dual wielding pistols, that kind of thing. And it is also a glass cannon. So you will just mow through enemies quick with the Inquisitor, but it's you got to be careful. You're going to have to do a lot of kiting if you run up against a boss. Then there's the Necromancer. The Necromancer, like you imagine, it's mostly a pet build type of class. You know, you have an ability called Rise Skeletons, and basically you kind of hang back and let your skeletons do all the fighting for you. Now, you can play it in other ways, but usually that's what people do. So I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. I don't want to spoil it just yet. Now, the last class is called Oathkeeper. It is also a fairly tanky class as well, similar to Soldier, but it has a little bit more offensive type skills. Soldier is very powerful, don't get me wrong, but Oathkeeper is powerful in a better way. Now, you can still take some pretty good punches to the face with Oathkeeper as well, but like I said, Soldier's just my personal favorite. Now, the unique thing about Grim Dawn, unlike any other RPG, action RPG, is you get to pick two classes. That's right. So you can start off with a soldier, get used to everything that's in there, build it up. Then when you reach level 10, you get to pick a second class and combine them. So you have the skills of the first class that you invest your points into, as well as some skills from the second class that you can invest points into, and create this super powerful build. Now, you can avoid picking the second class if you want to, like you can just do single class if you want, but you'd be handicapping yourself. Each class comes with a ton of benefits, even if you don't pick the skills within that class. So for instance, you can pick Soldier and Oathkeeper to create what's called a Warlord. The combination of the two classes is known as a Warlord, and it will be a super tanky class. Now, you can also mix Soldier with Demolitionist, which will create what's called a Commando. It's very tanky and does a ton of damage. So what you can do is use the Demolitionist class for all of your offense style abilities. So you can use a Fire Strike with like a two-handed rifle from your Demolitionist class. And then use your Soldier class for all the defensive, you know, big, tanky, meaty build stuff to make you nice and, you know, sturdy in the fight. I've tried fighting in all these different ways, but my personal favorite, if not sword and board, I definitely get a big boy two-handed weapon and I'll run in there and beat the crap out of him. It's fun. Now, the game also has crafting, so you can craft certain, like those relics that I was talking about, conflagration and loads of others. There's another one that I use called Juggernaut that I put with my soldier. And it's a high sustain type relic. Basically, it has a chance to heal you when you take damage. So as you're fighting in like a swarm of enemies, they're all just smacking the crap out of you. If you have Juggernaut, I forgot what the percentage is, like a 15% chance to heal a certain percent of your total health along with all these other benefits of it. So there's that. There's other ones called transcendent relics and stuff like that. Basically more powerful relics. Another one that I use is called Cathedral. My mouth is getting super dry here. Cathedral is fantastic for a tanky retaliation build. Basically, you run into the fight And this is the thing I like about retaliation builds. You don't have to be that strong or even have a really good weapon, because you're relying on your enemy hitting you to do the damage. So the more of them hitting you, the more damage you're doing to them. Now, you have to also be careful because, I mean, they're still killing you when they're hitting you. It's not like the damage is not affecting you. It's just that you're so tanky, they cannot crit you because you have a very high DA defensive ability. So that reduces the chance of them critting you. You want to make sure you have plenty of gear so that way your resistances are high, your armor value is high. And if you're running with a shield, the shield is unique. There's shield block chance, there's shield recovery time, and then there's, I forgot what the other one, the amount of damage blocked by a shield can be magnified. So the shield may be rated to, say, block 1,000 points of damage, but you can have modifiers that modify that to like 1,500 or 2,000 or whatever. You know, whatever the different things you find in the world. Also, shields don't have to be specific to a type of damage. So like, for instance, when you're getting hit with fire damage, you need fire resistance. When you're getting hit with physical damage, you need armor or physical resistance. Well, actually, it's going to be primarily armor. So a shield will block all incoming damage. You know what I mean? Now, again, if your shield is only rated to block 1,000 points of damage, but you're taking a fireball that's going to do like 10,000 damage, obviously you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to rely on your shield to block that. It will block 1,000 points out of that, but 9,000 more points of damage is coming your way. And if you've got a character that's only got like 7,000 health, that's death for you. All right, you need to be careful. So there's a lot of really cool things that the game does well. I tried doing the pet builds as well, but I'm just not a pet build guy. It feels boring to me because I'm normally with the pet builds, you hang back and let your pets go in and do the damage. Now, there's with the Necromancer, there's a certain pet called the Gore Fiend or something like that, and that's going to be your tanky pet. It has the ability to taunt and do, you know, generate additional threat is what the game also calls it. So that way it keeps the enemy from attacking you directly or your more squishy pets. So like the skeletons are pretty squishy. If they get hit, they're going to go down quick. But the Gore Fiend's got a lot of health and he can take a lot of hits. So he's going to go out there, generate additional threat, you know, taunt the enemy, get the enemy onto him. What we normally refer to that as pulling aggro. So he's going to go pull aggro and then the skeletons are going to light up the enemy from the rear while the enemy's attacking the Gore Fiend. So there's different techniques you can use. Now, there are some bosses, like I mentioned, when you get to like the celestial bosses, it's very hard to keep your pets alive. There are celestial bosses that they are just too dangerous. I have never been able to accomplish a real battle with them. They just one hit, one shot all my pets down quick and then just charge toward me and I just leave, you know. You gotta leave. So you get to pick how you want to play. You get two different classes and, you know, if you don't like this one, just make a new character. You can make unlimited amount of characters. You get 6 bag slots per character. You get 5 bags on the character. Then you get a stash, which holds is 6 slots in your character slash. So that's 5 bags to carry around. That's 6 stash slots. So you can go to a, let's just call them a bank, right? Like there's an NPC in the world. NPC stands for non-playable character, right? So you go to the NPC, we're going to call him the bank. You go to him and you deposit your really cool gear that you might want to use in another character in the stash, right? And now the stash has 2 forms. There's the universal stash that you transfer items in between characters, and then there's the character's personal stash. So it's going to be 12 slots altogether, you know, 6 universal, 6 personal. Now you have to unlock the different stashes. They don't have any sort of level requirements on the stash box. It's just money, straight up money. So you can go run through the world, kill a bunch of enemies, get a bunch of junk loot, sell all that junk loot to get a bunch of money, and then use that money to unlock all your stash spots. So no artificial limiters there. Just get some money and go buy them. I recommend you unlock your universal stash first. Just in case you don't like that character combination, you can still save that gear for another character combination that may use the same primary style of damage or benefit from that gear. And the bag slots, the bags are just, you know, when you're running around destroying stuff in the world, picking up all that loot, the bags are just on the character themselves. So you're just, you know, you got bags and bags of loot. All right, so I rambled here. Looks like for almost an hour, I'm going to have to trim this down. And I hope you guys enjoy this show. I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.